From our Imams, the ninth Imam is the first, whose Imamat began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali al-Barat.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Ja'far, Muhammad the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. And His Eminence was the ninth divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet. We find many proofs for the great treasure of his knowledge and wisdom. One of the great proofs of the great treasure of knowledge and wisdom of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam is that while His Eminence was still in his tender youth, the Shia jurisprudence, after the martyrdom of Imam al-Raza alayhi salam, hastened towards the city of Medina. They came to inquire as to know who is the next infallible and divinely appointed Imam. The reliable people and those who were trustworthy guided these Shia jurisprudents who had come from different places in the Islamic world towards Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. The Shia jurisprudents went to Imam al-Jawad and asked His Eminence the most ambiguous and complicated of questions. And yet Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam answered each and every one of them.
Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam stated, "He who witnesses a misdeed and abhors it is as one who was absent thereat. Whereas he who is absent from a misdeed and yet contents himself with it is as one who witnessed it."
Welcome back to your listeners. It's an honor to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the wonderful dialogues of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam, also known as Imam Taqi alayhi salam. He is, of course, the ninth divinely appointed Imam from the household of the Messenger of Allah. Now, sometimes we think that this concept of the Mahdi, the concept of the Qa'im, the concept of the 12th divinely appointed Imam, is something which has come about after the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Now, what we need to understand, and when we look at the historical texts and the books of tradition, is that the ideas and the discussions surrounding the 12th divinely appointed Imam had already begun during the era of previous imams and divinely appointed imams. Interestingly, we find that even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even His Eminence, the Messenger of Allah, spoke about the 12th divinely appointed imam, the savior of humanity, the awaited savior who will free humanity from the shackles of injustice and darkness and dhulm and oppression and evil, and will bring it towards the ultimate light and the light of truth, which is the Almighty Allah. These discussions about the Mahdi, again, were already occurring, And we find that during the time of the ninth divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, these conversations were taking place, and it was something that was spoken about in the various dialogues and the conversations amongst one another in the Muslim Ummah. In one such conversation with Abdul Azim al-Hasani, who was a descendant of the second divinely appointed Imam, Imam Hassan ibn Ali al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Well, Shah Abdul Azim al-Hassani was speaking with Imam al-Jawad, and he was asking him about the Mahdi, you know, who he is, what his characteristics are. And so it's kind of a long sermon, but we have decided to speak about it in different programs. Here, there's one thing that Imam al-Jawad replies to Abdul Azim al-Hassani, peace and blessings upon him. And he says to him, the best deed of our Shia is the awaiting for deliverance, is the awaiting for the zuhur, or the faraj, the salvation, the refuge, the safety. Now, of course, because this statement of Imam al-Jawad, even though it was given in a much larger conversation and a much larger dialogue, this one statement in itself, we wanted to focus on it because it has so many different dimensions. Unfortunately, through the ages, and sometimes even in the present day, we have individuals who think that this awaiting is a very passive waiting, meaning that we shouldn't do anything, we should just sit around, we should just, you know, wait for the Imam to come and do all of these things by himself, or we should wait for Allah to do, you know, all of the things for the Imam, and that everything will happen via a miracle. Just to kind of start answering some of these questions, because there are a lot of connected to this issue. Well, that is that if everything was supposed to be done via miracle, then the Messenger of Allah could have very well, via miracle, accomplished this, or Imam Ali alayhi salam, or Imam Hussein alayhi salam, could have accomplished, the utopian society via miracles. But no, there is a natural order in the cosmos, and Allah the Almighty, He works within these natural laws of the cosmos. Of course, He is the one who has ordained these natural laws of the cosmos. And so work must be done.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to your listeners. It's an honor to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. Now, if we say that if we don't do anything and we just wait for the Imam, and that awaiting here means a passive awaiting, well, that means that we should not have a government, we should not have an armed forces, we should not have an economic system, we shouldn't have a political system, we shouldn't have a cultural outlook or an Islamic cultural point of view, right? Because whether we want to accept it or not, with a little bit of thought, we will realize that all of these things are prerequisites, and they're fundamental stepping stones, if you will, towards the reappearance. How can we expect the Imam to establish a government when there is no government in place, there are no institutions in place, there's no organizations in place, right? There's no armed forces. How is he going to defend himself? There's no weapons-making factories. How will he defend himself, right? There's nothing. How can we expect the divinely appointed Imam to come and from ground zero build up everything that is needed for the ultimate utopian society? So, of course, that is not what is expected, and that doesn't really make a lot of sense. We have to come up with some of the fundamentals. We need to be economically strong. We need to be financially powerful. We need to be politically stable. We need to be politically strong. We need to be able to defend ourselves. We need to be able to put forth the ideas. We have to be advanced in the technological sciences, the physical sciences, the biological sciences, the medical sciences. I mean, we have to do as much as we can in order to make the already incredibly difficult job of the 12th Imam just a little bit easier, you know? And that is this working actively towards the Zuhur and helping to bring the Zuhur nearer. Why do we want to bring the Zuhur of the 12th Imam nearer? Because it is the reappearance and it is the salvation and it is the ultimate utopian society. It is freedom, it is happiness, it is cheer, it is joy, it is spiritual ecstasy. Why would we not want to work actively to prepare the grounds actively for the reappearance of the 12th Imam? This is what is known as actively awaiting. And it is this deed of actively waiting on behalf of the Shia for the deliverance and for the Zuhur and for the Faraj, which Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam calls the best deed of our Shia. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.